Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by Colin Drew for our Week 7 NFL DFS game-by-game show. You know, huge bye-nado that we're dealing with, right? We have a lot of the best teams in the NFL just straight up not playing. But we did, I'm just looking at the schedule. We at least got lucky with the games that are on the main slate. So two teams that are not on the main slate, you know, the Broncos, Browns, do not think we would have had very many core plays there. Then the Colts and the 49ers are the Sunday night game, and the Saints and the Seahawks are the Monday night game. So we're missing a ton of good teams, but at least the main slate, like, you know, we're not like having to deal with like the Chiefs not being on the main slate or the Cardinals not being on the main slate. So at least we have that going for us.
Yeah, it's definitely ugly out there, but it's probably not as ugly as it could have been. And that the showdown on Thursday, no Chubb, no Hunt, feels like one you could possibly sit out, play some NBA if that's your jam. If you guys are going to play NBA, our product is free this year over at Daily Roto. Just head to the site, click free access. You can sign up there. But I mean, we've got Mahomes, Kyler, Lamar, Stafford, Brady, Hurts. Like there's plenty of good. Good action this week, I think. It should be a fun one.
Yeah.
Better than last week, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually felt going through just like doing my cash shell so I could register for contests and stuff. I was like, you know, there are some plays. Like there are multiple, like, I don't know, there are probably seven quarterbacks, I think, who are like potential stack options. So, you know, you can't really complain, but we can go ahead and begin with a game on the surface that seems like it would have absolutely no plays, which is the Carolina Panthers at the New York Giants. It's a total of 43, but weirdly enough, because of the pricing and because of the injuries, there actually are plays on all these teams. You know, on the Carolina side, we basically, Chuba Hubbard is not playing the full Christian McCaffrey role, but he's played over 65% of the snaps each of the last 2 weeks. And Rodney Smith was not even active this last week. They moved him back to the practice squad. Don't know if they'll elevate him again, but he's had a very good role, and he is not particularly priced up at 6,100.
Yeah, I definitely agree with your take there. And like the coach speak, they talked a bit about wanting to establish the run a little more and move away from the pass. Always hard to say how that's going to come to fruition, but it does seem like, yeah, I mean, we've got him, I think, the fifth or sixth highest ceiling on the slate and a pretty reasonable price tag. So look, it's going to be a slate where people are going to want to get up to Derrick Henry. But beyond that, I don't think there's a lot of running backs that you're super interested in paying like a premium for. And yeah, Chuba falls in that same price range as DeAndre Swift. So definitely an interesting play. How do you take, I guess, like coach speak into account as far as team baselines? You know, do you think they will get more rush heavy? Do you like bump that a few percent or kind of wait to see, just because you can never tell based on the game script what's actually going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, so when I went through and did our work on projections, all I did was I made the Carolina offense a little bit less efficient, like yards per play wise, because I don't want to mess with their run to pass ratios too much. You know, I think just letting the data feed in is probably the right thing to do there. And I mean, the thing I'm worried about is people thinking that Robbie Anderson is like a sneaky volume play, because I think he had 10 targets last week, and I just don't want him to be boosted. The one interesting note I had on them from a skill position player sense is that Tommy Tremble ran a ton of routes last week and played 51% of the snaps for, so it was the first time that he got over 50% of the snaps. They use him in kind of an interesting way. And Ian Thomas still played a lot of snaps, but he out-snapped Terrace Marshall, who started out the season as like the clear third wide receiver. And now they're kind of rotating Terrace Marshall, Brandon Zylstra, and Tommy Tremble in that role. And Tommy Tremble is a $2,700 tight end.
Yeah. Are you interested in any of the Giants? I know Kadarius Toney left the game. We don't have a status update yet for whether or not Slayton could potentially be back this week. Sterling Shepard kind of resumed, I guess, the alpha role in the passing offense. And then we got a surprise appearance from Dante Pettis.
I was going to say, like, we have Dante Pettis right now, 11 targets, 61% of the snaps, dead minimum. We have him as a slight value play on DraftKings.
Yeah. Always feels bad.
If Slayton was to play, Pettis would go back to, I mean, it'd probably be an inactive, I think. It would be him or Colin Thompson who would be an inactive.
Yeah, and Colin Johnson, yeah. And then John Ross mixing as well. So I think there's plenty of reasons to get away from Pettis, but his price tag was at least notable considering the target volume he saw last week.
Yeah. But I think Sterling Shepard is probably the notable one because with Kadarius Toney out, he is playing in the slot. In games that he did not leave injured this year, he has 9 targets, 10 targets, and 14 targets. This game is probably not like going to be played very fast or very high scoring, but at 5,600, you know, the way DK scoring works, it would not surprise me if he ends up being a cash play, actually.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm kind of with you. I think there are pieces in this game. It's not a game to completely stay away from, but it's nothing I'm overly excited about either, as far as a stack.
And Booker is priced up a little bit at 5,500, but I mean, he played 72% of the snaps in the total blowout last week with 12 carries. So it's
like the same role as Chuba, right? Like 70% of the carries, like maybe 10% of the targets. Got to find the end zone.
Yeah. All right. New York Jets at the New England Patriots. I don't think any Jets player is even close to a play. This is going to be like an all-time, like both teams are just trying to run the ball every single down. The guy who is interesting is Damian Harris, depending on what the in-game split will be between him and Ramondre, because Damian just got done having a huge role against the Dallas Cowboys, 18 carries, 101 yards, only played 48% of the snaps. Ramondre played 33% of the snaps, ran 5 times, but was like running all the pass routes, was basically playing like the James White role, which is hilarious because he's like 245 pounds. But Damian against the Jets is like a potential play.
Yeah. I mean, they were talking up Ramondre's pass catching abilities. And so I think like the frame of him, it definitely doesn't fit what you think of for a pass catching back, but I wasn't shocked to see him kind of usurp Brandon Bolden in that role eventually. And it seems like they were kind of hinting that could be possible. So I do think that tends to stick. Damian, man, the price just is, I don't know, I guess you hope for some more passing involvement. And
well, he's got to get 100 yards and, or 2 touchdowns.
And he only played half the snaps too, which is always like a little bit concerning. So,
yeah.
I mean, Jakobi Meyers, I think is definitely in play in the spot. It's like the touchdown thing has gone on for so long. He had one last week. It gets called off the board with a penalty, but he's 5,300, seeing 30% of the team's targets. Generally, I think teams prefer to attack the Jets through the air versus the ground. So I could definitely see, I mean, you mentioned Shepard might be in people's cash lineups. I wouldn't be so surprised at all if Jakobi Meyers is in some people's, just because the target volume is so high and the touchdown. Like, it's just how often can a guy get 30% of the team's targets and 0% of the touchdowns?
The Patriots would be the team, right? The Patriots would be the team where they have these very specialized roles.
I don't know, man. They were all so pumped up and then devastated when he got it called off the board. So I think they find him one of these next few weeks.
Yeah. All right.
Nelson Aguilar, 3,700 too. I think he's definitely an option.
He's got a role. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this next game will probably end up being the most stacked game, guys, with loads of ownership. We have the Kansas City Chiefs playing at the Tennessee Titans. We have Mahomes, Tyreek, Kelsey, Darrell, and Hardman all pulling through as values. I think Darrell is a lock. Like he played the role that he just had is better than any game in terms of usage that CH had other than CH's very first game where he got all those carries and all those targets, but he got more touches inside the 5 than CH has had anytime since then. And his 4 targets were more than CH has had in any game this season. So, I mean, he played 72% of the snaps. He got the goal line work. McKinnon got 4 targets, but only caught 1 of them. So I just think Darrell is a smash, just a straight smash.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's always interesting because it's like when you have the split backfield and one of the guys goes down, if the third running back doesn't step up, then that second running back ends up substantially out-projecting probably any projection we've ever had in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And, you know, there's obviously ways for Darrell to fail. Like 5,800 is steep in terms of his price.
Well, if he doesn't score because he's never getting the 100-yard bonus, you know, he probably goes
And like one, they don't use the running backs that much in the passing game either. So, and it's like one touchdown probably doesn't, is probably not enough. And
one touchdown, four receptions, and like 85 combo.
Fringy. It's like you're fine with that. You're not stoked.
That's like he, so like, it's like a lot of people are going to be deciding between Mike Davis at 5,200 and Daryl Williams at 5,800. And I prefer Daryl. I'm on the Daryl side of that.
What do you think the ownership's going to be like on AJ Brown? So he is,
I can't figure it out.
Probably the cheapest price we've ever seen. He was like 15-16% in that showdown slate against the Buffalo Bills.
He was 3% owned in the captain.
Yeah. They did mention, like, AJ Brown was kind of like, look, when I'm out there, I've got to go 100%, but I probably won't play a full allotment of snaps until week 10 in an interview. So, but they still, but when he was before, on the field, they were throwing to him.
That was even before the Bills game. And so the game before, I don't even remember who they played. It's all kind of running together right now. But Rich told me when we were doing our show on Friday last week that he was out there on only passing plays. Like, he ran a route on all but two of the plays that he was out there. So basically, or he was only not on the field for two passing plays. So like, he's just out there to be targeted. And Julio Jones injured his hamstring. I have him out in the projections right now. You know, I don't know if that will hold. And obviously we have this huge projection on AJ Brown because, you know, it's Marcus Johnson and Nick Westbrook-Akeen and Josh Reynolds and Cameron Batson taking, you know, the other outside role. So, and this is a game where they're going to have to throw, you know, I don't really see a way they don't get to 30 passing attempts in this game.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of felt the same way against Buffalo, and sometimes the big dog just goes for 160 yards and three touchdowns.
Yeah. It's insane. But I mean, I think AJ Brown is a cash play. Weirdly enough, I think that Henry will be a leverage play. I mean, Henry will be popular at 9,200, but he won't be, you know, the most owned running back, the most owned expensive player. You know, I guess I don't know what ownership would he have to be a leverage play? Like 18%, is he a leverage play?
Yeah, it probably starts to get in around that just because, like, there aren't other spend up running backs, I don't think, but you do have Davante Adams, Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill on the slate. Those are the guys that Henry will kind of be jostling with for the spot in the lineups. Those are guys that are, I guess, Kupp's pretty material, like, substantially cheaper. I don't know. I think that you're right, though. That's where he would start to be a leverage play, is if he's in like the high teens.
Yeah. All right. We got the Atlanta Falcons at the Miami Dolphins. This actually will be a stacked game. Like, I think people will use, right, people, I mean, Calvin Ridley at 6,600. You know, that's very similar to the AJ Brown bucket. And then Kyle Pitts. I guess we'll test how much people remember that London game from 2 weeks ago, but his role was the best. Cordarrelle Patterson is priced all the way up at 6,300 on DraftKings and at 8,000 on FanDuel. Russell Gage is back this week, which changes their target distribution a little bit. And then, you know, I don't really know what to make of Mike Davis. You could argue we are a little bit low on his stuff. I mean, we have him projected higher than his fantasy points per game, but, you know, of course, giving Patterson a real role as both a rusher and a receiver makes it hard for, you know, it's hard to project the Falcons backfield for 30 combined fantasy points.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think unpacking the London game is obviously important because they did use Patterson as a wide receiver a lot in that game. Calvin Ridley was not active, was not on the trip. And so Pitts did see his season high target volume, had a breakout performance. Prospect people were hyped on coming to the season. So I could see it sticking, but probably not at the same level it was. I do still think Calvin Ridley is the kind of alpha in the offense. And with only a $700 gap in pricing between those two guys, I think Calvin Ridley is probably the play for me. But yeah, that combined with Gage back, I think Patterson and Mike Davis will compete for snaps out of the backfield. I don't think Patterson's going to see the same level of target volume that he has seen over the, like, last week. I think you'd be better off looking at the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season rather than the game where every wide receiver on their team was inactive.
Was out. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I will tweak the Mike Davis projection a little bit. Right now he's not hitting any optimals, but he will be, you know, a popular play against the Dolphins. The guy who is going to be the most popular play from this game is going to be Waddle coming off of that absurd performance against the Jaguars. And I think not just because of the touchdowns, but because the usage was like so obviously valuable. Like Jalen Waddle was basically their running back one. Like they were just using like 4-yard throws to Jalen Waddle instead of running the ball. I think they had 14 running back carries and they were all evenly distributed between Gaskin, Brown, and Ahmed. The running game was not working for them against the Jaguars.
Yeah, and I don't know if you have a status update on Devontae Parker, whether or not that's a long-term or short-term thing, but I have him out, but
I think he could be back.
Yeah, like Waddle saw 28% of the team targets. Man, there was nothing more frustrating. I had all those Tom Brady, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown double stacks a couple weeks before with like goose eggs from Waddle, and then a week later he goes off. So that was quite frustrating. I think I prefer Jacoby Myers, I think, outright over Waddle, especially if Devontae Parker's out. If Devontae Parker is back, if he's active, then I think Waddle's probably out of consideration. If he's, if he's out again, then I think Waddle would probably project a little bit better than Sterling Shepard, a little bit right alongside Jacoby Myers, probably.
Yeah. All right, next game, the Washington football team at the Green Bay Packers. For the Washington football team, it's basically if Logan Thomas doesn't come back, Ricky Seals-Jones is basically Travis Kelce. I don't have, at this point, I don't have any interest in Gibson. His role is just not good enough. You know, the role just sucks. It is what it is.
He did leave the game early, went to the medical tent. He'll definitely be on the injury report. I haven't seen the results of the MRI, but like JD McKissick, I think, would be a pretty strong play if Gibson is going to miss. It's a negative game script for Washington. They should be behind. And then when Gibson went down last week, they did not turn to Jarrett Patterson. Now they might mix him in more than they had otherwise, but it was JD McKissick who started to handle the majority of the carries. He had 42% of the team's carries, with Patterson just touching the ball once out of the backfield. And then McKissick had 26% of the team's targets. So he's priced at 5K. He's kind of priced for the role that he has right now, which is a third down back. And it seems at least like early indications are that they don't fully trust Jarrett Patterson. So it was also not like a super negative game script, but they were trailing late in the game against the Chiefs. So I think McKissick would end up being one of the stronger plays on the slate if Gibson was to miss.
Definitely. He would be. The Green Bay side, I guess, it's you pick your poison with Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams. The issue with Aaron Jones now is that this role that we imagine for AJ Dillon as the salt the game away guy, I mean it's real, right? 15 carries in the win against Pittsburgh, plays 33% of the snaps in the win against Cincinnati, plays 42% of the snaps against Chicago. Like it's the role where we were like, yeah, Aaron Jones is going to be Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon is going to be Jamal Williams. Like AJ Dillon is Jamal Williams now.
Yeah, definitely. And Aaron Jones still had value in that same role last season. So you're still going to get a couple breakout games from him. It's just hard to rely on it as consistently. Like he is probably going to end up being a positive leverage play for large field tournaments. I think he'll be one of those running backs that, like, people will pay up for Henry, but they're not going to pay up for Aaron Jones. He's going to be in the 5-10% owned range. We'll probably have him with like 10-15% optimal line of probability. So MME, I'll probably get over the field on him. But obviously Devonta Adams, one of the safer and the highest ceiling plays in the slate every time he plays, especially against this Washington football team defense that's given it up through the air to basically everybody that they faced.
Yeah. Adams, I get the only question with Adams is if you play him in cash, or if you play Cooper Kupp, to be honest, it feels pretty close between those two guys.
I feel like you're always on team Tyreek. Like if you can only pay up for Adams, Tyreek, or Derrick Henry, I feel like you're always on team Tyreek. Is that the case again this week? Are you worried about this? Like,
I mean, I played Adams in cash last week and it felt real bad. Real bad. I'll just do whatever the projections, whatever our, like, if our stuff has Adams in the optimal, I'll probably play him. And if it has Tyreek, because the I think it's a $300 difference between the two of them, if that money ends up mattering, then I will probably play Tyreek. But yeah, or Cup, you know, whoever ends up being the strongest value in our stuff Sunday morning is probably who I'll play. I will guess that it will be Adams because, I mean, right now at 33% of the targets, that's actually way lower than what Adams' actual market share. I think his actual market share is 38%. I mean, if I gave Devonta Adams his actual target share, he'd project for like 30 DraftKings points.
Right. Yeah. It's almost like Derrick Henry in a way where you're just like, okay, no wide receiver ever can sustain a 40% target share. So it's hard to project Adams to where he has been, for sure. Same thing with the red zone usage as far as the team's touchdowns.
Yeah. So that's it for that game. All right. We have the Cincinnati Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens, I guess, are interesting because Bateman came back and, you know, was not a full-time player, second on the team in target share, did play 65% of the snaps, was targeted six times. He's 3,400. I kind of like him as a tournament option with Lamar. It's like the first time a cheap guy has ever been usable in tournaments with Lamar.
Yeah, so Sammy Watkins missed last week, so we'll have to pay attention to the news there as far as it impacting Bateman. Bateman also left the game early with an injury, but they said that they're not worried about it long-term. Same thing with Latavius Murray, left the game early. So when you look at last week's, I mean, you saw Devontae Freeman, Latavius Murray, Le'Veon Bell all scoring touchdowns, but the workload was pretty split between those guys, and I think that probably continues. So it sounds like Le'Veon Bell has been added officially to the active roster. They used all their practice squad call-ups. So I expect it to be a rotation at running back again. Bateman, if he is healthy, practices in full this week, definitely interested as long as Watkins sits. If Watkins is back, I think that does start to eat into maybe the expectation that you would have for Bateman, who does profile somebody who's going to play majority on the outside, which is where Watkins was running before.
Yeah. So yeah, that is, so Watkins status is going to be important for this week, both for Marquise Brown's projection and Rashad Bateman's projection and Mark Andrews' projection. Cause right now they're all, potential plays. The interesting thing is I wonder if people are not as into playing Lamar after the blow up last week, cause we got Kyler, we got Mahomes, we got Stafford in like the all time nut spot. Like if we could get 8% on Lamar this week, that would be incredible.
Yeah, it definitely would be. And it does seem like the type of week where the quarterback ownership should be pretty spread out.
Yeah. So I'm pretty into playing Lamar, and Lamar, I know it did not happen last week, but this is the most pass heavy Lamar's ever been in his career, which, Andrews is the best guy to stack with him, but I still think you can get away with double stacking him at this point.
I agree. And the bringbacks are very appealing. Jamar Chase, 6,100 or 6,200 rather. And then T Higgins at 4,900.
Yeah, they have nuked T Higgins price, 49. And we talked about this on the Gilcast this last week. Like, I don't know, is it wrong that T Higgins projects this well every single week? And the peripheral numbers are still basically there, like in terms of routes run and targets and everything. It's just that the Bengals have been a lower volume offensive team than we thought. And Chase is the A dot guy. Like Chase has the higher A dot.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've definitely been more run heavy as well. Though it does not seem like the matchup where they're going to be able to do that for the entire game. So I think those are definitely the things that you're battling with every week when you're trying to project T. Higgins versus Tyler Boyd versus Jamar Chase.
Yeah. The Detroit Lions at the Los Angeles Rams. So my flag plant this week is that Stafford can literally throw like eight touchdowns here. Like I literally think that Stafford can go so absolutely nuclear here. And the matchup stuff is obvious, but the other thing is, McVay is one of these coaches that we know cares about the narrative. Like when Gurley was his guy, they would like, they really wanted to get Gurley the rushing title. And so they were, giving him carries in like meaningless week 17 games. And he also was talking this last week about how like things ended kind of bad between him and Jared Goff, and that relationship actually has some resentment in it. And so I think Stafford, like he can have a Brady game, basically, is what I'm saying. Like he can have a 450-5 game here.
For sure. I mean, we touted the Stafford doubles last week just because Henderson was going to be one of the more popular running back values. And it actually profiled similar to the Brady game against the Dolphins. And the difference is this week that like everything is aligning for some ownership, at least to come on to these players, just because you have the 32, 33 point team total. You've got last week's box scores. You've got Cooper Kupp playing like Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill. And the pricing is flexible enough to make it work on this slate. The doubles with Robert Woods or Tyler Higbee are reasonably priced. You can mix in Van Jefferson as well. So a lot of stuff is just setting it up for like the ownership to pile on more than it did last week. So that's the only concern. That's the only reason I think it's a slightly worse spot, but
yeah, you gotta, what you gotta do is you gotta stack them. You gotta stack them with D Hendo, who's 6,600, and you gotta use Woods or Higbee.
Yeah. That was my miss last week, was a lot of the doubles having Van Jefferson and Woods, but no Henderson on those teams. So I don't know, I guess on the Detroit side, it's a Jared Goff revenge spot as well, but that doesn't seem like it's going to go quite as well for him.
I will be doing no bring backs with my Stafford double stacks. I will, maybe you could talk me into a Trinity Benson, or I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown at 4,100. I guess I've seen worse bring backs. I wish Hockenson was a little bit cheaper, but 5,100 for Hockenson on DK feels a little bit rich.
Yeah, I want to monitor the Lions practice reports too, just because DeAndre Swift did get 72% of the team's carries last week. And he's leading slightly over Jamal Williams in the season. Williams was questionable going into that game. So if he's questionable going into this game, if he's limited in practice all the way through Friday, then potentially we're light on DeAndre Swift's workload. He's still priced as if he's in a backfield times share. So if he ended up getting 70% of the team's carries to go along with, you know, his 18% target share, then I think he'd be a pretty strong play regardless of the tough matchup. But otherwise, probably off the depth pieces. Like, I mean, you can chase it all you want, but Amon-Ra St. Brown, Khalif Raymond, like Cutterell Hodge, like they're all like, I don't know.
You're literally hoping for a fourth.
You're flipping a coin for these, like, from, but it's like a, it's not like flipping a coin with like the Tampa wide receivers. You're flipping like a terrible coin.
Yeah. All right, the Philadelphia Eagles at the Las Vegas Raiders. The problem is, it's just that Jalen Hurts is taking all the touchdowns, all the usage. Like Miles Sanders, don't want to play him. I'm not even really interested in Goddard with no Hurts. I mean, Devonta Smith would be the Eagles receiver that I am interested in. And then on the Raiders side, I mean, we just have this, like Darren Waller, they just won't target him. Like he had that crazy 19 target game in week one. His max targets since then have been 8. His best receiving yardage since then has been 65. He's got 2 touchdowns on the year. Like the role is fine, but is it a $6,700 role? I mean, really probably not.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, we touted that Hunter Renfro was an issue for Darren Waller. We just did it last year before Waller broke out. We didn't.
Yeah, now Renfro's coming through and is a positive value at 4,800.
Yeah. So those two guys have pretty strong negative correlation. If you want to bet against Hunter Renfro, backing Darren Waller is probably one way you can do it. It's probably one of the lower owned spots you're going to get for Jalen Hurts too, just because he's like, he gets there. Like, it might not, for real life NFL, it might not get there. They're dead at halftime a lot of these weeks, but he definitely gets there in the end. And the single stack with Jalen Hurts is going to be very cheap with Devonta Smith or Dallas Goedert.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're definitely right. I mean, and you could even, you could build your game stacks for another game and then just sub the quarterback out for Jalen Hurts. That's something I like to do with these running quarterbacks. But yeah, I'm in on that. But this game is not really that interesting to me.
I thought you might be ready to back Henry Ruggs, kind of priced in that uncomfortable range. But
yeah, that's the thing, is that 5,500 for Ruggs is like, he's just got, you know, if he catches a 75 yard bomb, he gets there. Like if I was playing MME, which I have not done this year, I've just been doing single entry and 3 max. I think he's kind of a thin single entry 3 max play. But if I was doing MME this year, every week, I would just be like, you gotta play 7% Henry Ruggs or something.
Yeah. I feel you.
The Houston Texans at the Arizona Cardinals. So the questions for the Cardinals are basically, two wide receivers get there pretty much every single game, right? Hopkins, Green, Kirk, Rondale, pretty much two of them get there every game. So the question is, one, how much does Zach Ertz play this week? You know, I have him projected for a pretty conservative role at about 10% of the targets. That, you know, that is less than the role that Max Williams was playing. If he plays more than that, he really nukes, you know, Rondale's role, because Rondale played the most snaps he's played last week, but was still clearly fourth in line behind Kirk and AJ Green. I think if you play Kyler, you want to double stack him though at this point, because he's really not running that much.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll still run when it matters, which is
in the red zone.
I think the issue is like DeAndre Hopkins is almost off the table for me every single week, just because he's
got like projected like an alpha. And he's,
yeah. So, and we say like one of the cards wide receivers gets there every week, but like getting there has been like 20 fantasy points
instead of like 37.
Which, yeah, don't get me wrong, if like Rondale Moore gets you 20 at 4,400, that's great. But if DeAndre Hopkins gets you 20 at 7,700, that's definitely not going to do it. So, I think the Kyler's spreading it around enough. You could go single stack, especially with Zach Ertz potentially in the mix, and just try to hit on one.
I think if you play Hopkins, you single stack it. But I think if you are doing Rondale, AJ Green, Kirk, I think you double probably, and just hope that he throws four touchdowns, like the Bucks, like he throws four touchdowns to those two guys.
Yeah, and I mean the other thing is like we've seen teams able to rest their quarterbacks at the end of games against the Houston Texans. And
yeah,
it wouldn't be shocking if that happened. It did happen with Josh Allen, and it happened, I mean, with Stafford last week when he went nuclear in the first three quarters, he ended up sitting the fourth. So it could cap the ceiling a little bit there. But I definitely think, yeah, and like the Cards have been running the ball almost 50-50.
James Conner is the galaxy brain play here.
That is the true galaxy brain play. Cause he has, I mean, he's taken over the rushing share of the backfield.
He's gotten a ton of work the last 2 weeks. He got 16 carries in that win against Cleveland. He got 18 carries in the win against the Rams. He has 5 rushing touchdowns on the year.
It was like the perfect storm last week too, because they were just getting like short fields and turnovers and big leads. So definitely, I mean, it seems like it's profiling more for like the James Conner 15 carry workload than it is for like a Chase Edmonds pass happy game script.
Yeah. And then our final game, the Chicago Bears at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Sad. It's just not happening for Fields. Mooney is the guy who hits optimals every once in a while, because he and Allen Robinson basically have the identical target share. Mooney's scored more touchdowns, but you know, I the only guy I would consider is Khalil Herbert based off of the workload that he got last week, but I don't know, $5,200 running backs, Khalil Herbert or Mike Davis. You probably are maybe even taking Mike Davis.
Yeah. I mean, this is the last game on the slate, the latest start of any of the games. I think the Tampa wide receivers, people have a hard time picking them, whether it's Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, if it's two of them, but one of them's getting there most weeks. So trying to get in the MME sets, trying to get over the field on all of these guys. In three max single entry stuff, want to see where the field goes. I think Godwin at his price at 5,900 has the most appeal. He's had one ceiling game this season. The floor has been pretty steady for him, and it could be another spot for a ceiling game from Chris Godwin. I do think you can double stack Brady. And if you are going to go down the path of double stacking Brady, Herbert at 5,200 or Mooney at 4,600. Mooney's actually had a bigger role in Allen Robinson over the course of the season, and that has sustained since Fields has taken over as well. So Mooney, a guy who is going to get some of the down the field plays, 32% of targets last week, he's up to 29% over the last four and 27% of the season. So definitely has emerged as like a not a clear wide receiver one, just because the play count and passing volume hasn't been there. But I think in this game, like, you just hope the coaching staff realizes they have to play a bit more aggressive. Maybe it will take a 2-touchdown deficit for them to do that.
Yeah. I mean, would you be interested in playing Brady this week? I mean, I do think he will kind of be forgotten about. So he's priced up at 7,700. You know, we got Mahomes, we got Kyler, we got Lamar, we got the narrative spot for Stafford. I do think Brady will come in at, you know, kind of relatively low ownership.
Yeah. I mean, of course, got to be. I mean, the 30-point total, like, yeah, the price is a little uncomfortable for sure. 7,700. Like, I'd rather get over the field on the wide receivers, but if Brady ends up at like 2% ownership or something like that, then I'm definitely interested. If he's like 8%. I think we just on ceiling, we prefer Mahomes, Kyler, Lamar, Stafford, and have him right alongside Hurts, who's a considerable discount. But like the ceiling gap between Mahomes and Brady is 4 points. So it's just like one passing touchdown of variance. I do think if Brady's going to get there though, like on the slate with this many good quarterback plays, I think you're probably going to need the game to stay competitive. So I probably would try to mix in the Bears as bringbacks.
And Uncle Len, he just keeps getting there at 6,400. He's one of the best plays of the entire slate, I think.
Yeah. I mean, he's had a real role. Like it took some people a little longer to warm up to Uncle Len than others, but running back against 60% of the team's carries plus work in the passing game on one of the best offenses in the NFL. Got to consider him on most slates.
Yep. All right, there we go. That is all the games. Should be a good slate. I will be in the lab working on projections all week. We're definitely in the part of the season where like we're not going to know about some injury stuff until Sunday morning. Julio Jones will be monitoring as a pretty big one, but there are lots of injuries this week. So be there Sunday morning, and I will be back on Friday with Rich.